Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. I've got a lot to cover, but the book of Hebrews is about Christ is what, class? Better. And he's better than what in chapter 1? Anybody know? You can. Better than the first one was the prophets. Then in chapter 1 and chapter 2, better than the angels. Chapter 3, better than Moses. We begin to look at that better than Moses in verses 1 through verse 6. And so now we're going to continue reading in Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to actually cover the rest of chapter 3 and the rest of chapter 4. I'm not going to read all of it, okay? We just don't, for the sake of time this morning. But the theme for the rest of chapter 3 and the rest of chapter 4 is rest, a better rest that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's begin to pick up here in verse 7. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 3, begin in verse 7 all the way down to verse 11 is a direct quote from David when David wrote the Psalm 95. We're going to look at that in just a minute, and then we're going to see some things. So let's look in chapter 3 in verse 7. Begin to read there. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Now, I want us to stop right there. I'm already stopping. Here's the Trinity in the book of Hebrews. You see, when the book was given to the people that it was written to, it was written as a letter. We've subdivided it through the years somehow. Scripture got subdivided into chapters and verses. But he's saying here, right here in verse 7, wherefore, as the what, class? Holy Ghost saith. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, which we were not going to do, we saw God the Father, and we saw the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, the only begotten Son. And now we see here in this same body of Scripture, the book of Hebrews, the Holy Ghost. Also in this passage of Scripture, so you see all of the Trinity there. You know, we have many people say there is no Trinity. They don't believe in a Trinity. There's churches around here that don't believe that. That the Godhead is of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We've just seen the third person of the Trinity right here in Scripture. Now let's continue on. That's not the whole lesson. I wanted to just point that out. Verse 8, harden not your hearts. If you have a pen, you take notes, I want you to write down or underline that word hearts there. As in the day of provocation. And that word provocation is a provoking. The children of Israel provoked the Lord God in Exodus chapter 17. We're going to look at that briefly here in just a little bit in Exodus chapter 17. The children of Israel provoked the Lord God. In verse 8, harden not your hearts. Underline that. As in the days of provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And said, they do always err in their, what, class? Heart. Underscore that. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my, underscore, rest. Or write that word down, rest. Verse 11, rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You can write, underscore that one as well. In departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, plural there, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? He's talking about those who provoked God. They didn't make it to the land of Canaan. That was their place of rest at that time. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that, I want you to notice with me, believed not. Believed not. I want you to take those two words and underscore them. So we see that they could not enter in, I'm talking about entering into rest, because of what? Unbelief. Now I want you to stop right here. we're going to go to Exodus chapter 17. In order to understand a little bit better this passage of Scripture, I want us to see that day of provocation that the Scripture is telling us about in Exodus chapter 17. We can actually begin reading in chapter 16, verse 35, because it ties right in with the same passage of Scripture. And I want us to see that. Mark your place in Hebrews. We'll come back to it. And I want us to go, beloved, to this part of the Scripture in verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna how many years? 40 years. There's something interesting I want us to see. They think that the book of Hebrews was handed to mankind around A.D. 70, 73, sometime like that, or approximately 40 years after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was 40 years before the children of Israel, who did not provoke the Lord through unbelief, were able to go into the land of Canaan. Just like it was 40 years for these Hebrew Christians we've been speaking about, who the Lord is trying to get them away from that old economy of the constant sacrifice over to the new acceptance of the once for all Christ died for our sins. He's over and over trying to get them away from that fraught up work that these Jewish New Testament people who claim to trust the Lord as their Savior, he's trying to get them from the old economy to the new economy. I heard someone say last night, it's hard to change. Was that you, Brother Val? Someone else? Or someone said, it's hard for me to change. I don't know if it was Brother Klein, someone in the testimonies we heard last night. Well, it was hard for these Jewish people to change when they've been doing the same things habitually over and over again. And God said, no, it's got to change. You've got to learn what it is to enter into the rest of what's been provided for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is happening here. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, he mentions this day of provocation. And now it's mentioned again. And God re-mentions this day of provocation 40 years after he's already died on the cross. Why? He's trying to get them to see. For 40 years I've been good to you. I've given you what you need to know. I've done that finished work. And you're still wanting to go back to the old system. And there, beloved, there are all types of people today who don't know if they're saved or not. They don't have any idea. They think that they've trusted the Lord at one time, but they do something wrong, and they've got to go back and almost re-sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they're doing. We can look at that later. But they'll say, I need to be saved again. I have a dear friend. He's been kind to me through the years over in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when Lisa and I, right before we were to be married, I went and worked for him one summer, and I went and stripped copper wire off of pieces of wire that he used in his electrical shop there. And I worked in his shop, and I organized the shop for him that summer. And as I did that, I learned something about Tom. He didn't have the confidence that he could rest in the finished work of the Lord. And that's what we're getting to here, and that's sort of the same thing. Is we're trying to get to the point where we understand that we can rest in the finished work of God. And we're trying to get these Jewish Christians to understand they can rest. And he takes them back to an example in the Old Testament. Here were your fathers, your Jewish fathers, your Jewish patriarchs who are doing, they did the same thing back then that you're doing now. They had every opportunity to enter into that place of rest through the Lord Jesus Christ, or that place of Canaan. But what did they do? Well, we're seeing that here in Exodus chapter 16. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. And all the congregation, verse 1 of chapter 17, Exodus, of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Now I want to notice the provocation, verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide, they provoked with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? How hard was this chiding? We'll see. Continue to read on. Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Do ye provoke the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried in the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? Notice what he says. Here's how much they've been chiding him, how they're provoking him. They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is he with us? That's what they asked. Is God with us? Well, for 40 years they had a pillar of cloud, did they not? That went before them and said, this is where I want us to camp and have our encampment. And we saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He sent manna down on a daily basis. And is the Lord with us? That's almost like us as Christians sometimes in Christian unbelief. Is the Lord really with us? Is he going to provide for us? Is he going to show us the path that we need to go? Well, after he's for 40 years given you heavenly food, and he sent down angels to help you sometimes, and he sent down birds for you to eat, and he's provided for you, the Lord's still with you. He hasn't left. But you see, there was a problem in the hearts of the people, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, just like there was here in the book of Hebrews, and that is the evil heart of unbelief. It was a heart of unbelief, and that was what they're speaking of in the day of provocation. It's found here in Exodus chapter 17. Sometime when you get a chance to study through it more, you ought to take the scripture and see that. Now let's go to Psalms 95 quickly. We can see in Psalm 95, this is the direct quote, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11 is a direct quote of Psalm 95. This is the chapter, by the way, the invitation psalm. Oh, come, the Bible says in verse 1 of Psalm 95. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That's also interesting to me because he talks about the rock of our salvation. And there was a rock that was smitten in the Old Testament. He uses the same illustration here in Psalm 95 concerning the rock. He goes, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are all the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Here's another, the second invitation. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, here's the quote from David that we find in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning right here. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. You see, we're getting to a heart problem in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. People do not enter into rest as Christians and as lost people because of a heart problem. That's the issue. It's a heart problem. The issue is not what do I believe, what is my philosophy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, what is my intellectual makeup, and does this fit within my intellectual realm? You know, a lot of people try to go out and intellectually reach people who are already Christ and God deniers. You'll never reach them on their intellectual level. May I say that to you? When we go and we give the gospel to our co-workers, and we give the gospel as we go out in visitation, and we try to reach souls for the Lord, you'll never be able to reach someone on an intellectual level. Now, the Bible says that we're to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh for the hope within us, right? That means we're to know the scripture. We're to give the scripture. But we're never going to be able to reach a man on his intellectual level, because intellectually we cannot understand the majestic power of God. You can't do it. I cannot understand how God did what he did. I know that I have his promise. Amen? I know that in the scripture I have the promise. I have given to me the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. I have that from Scripture. I know that he died for me. I know that according to Scripture he rose again by many infallible proofs. But I don't understand it all. And there came a point in my life I had to do one of two things. I had to intellectually try to grasp my mind around it, which it'll never happen with man, because man is flawed in our sin condition. So I had to, by faith, by belief, accept the fact that Christ was who he said he was. It's just the same thing that happened in the Old Testament. It's the same thing that Paul is trying to get these Hebrew Christians to. You're never going to enter into rest as a Christian or as a lost person because of one thing, and that's a heart that's not the way it's supposed to be. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, please, with me. And let's talk about the heart in Hebrews chapter 3 and the rest in chapter 4. There's 3 points in this particular passage in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, that I want us to look at concerning the heart and entering into the gospel rest, salvation rest, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing that I want us to notice is the erring heart. Look in verse 10 with me. It says here, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always what, class? Err in their what? Heart. And they have not known my ways." That's the first step. And what's the Bible say about the erring heart? Continue reading here in verse 10. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their heart. They've not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." May I say to you this morning, if we've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never going to know the rest of salvation, because our wicked, evil, unbelieving hearts carry us in different directions. How many know someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Would you raise your hand? And how many of those people that just raise your hand, those persons that you know who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, their life is a life of turmoil, always at unrest, always, constantly. This seems to be a tragedy to them. This thing took over their lives and just shook them. And they're shaken out of the foundation. They're always searching for something. Why is that? Because the wicked are like the troubled sea, and it cannot rest. It's looking for satisfaction and entertainment. It looks for satisfaction and perhaps all this electronic things we've got going on today, right? The world's moving to it. I have to use electronics through work. If I didn't have the internet, I wouldn't be able to turn in my timesheets to get paid. So guess what? I've got the internet. But look at how much junk's out there. How much, if we're not careful, man, it could just overwhelm you. Why is that? Because people are at unrest. They've got to have something new, something else to take away their attention. Why? Because if they sit long enough, quietly enough, I believe truly, the Bible says, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I will draw all men to himself. You know why men don't like to be quiet and silent? Because the Holy Spirit of God brings on conviction, saying, there is an end. I talked to my barber yesterday. Keaton and I came over. We met. We like to meet with a visitation team. And we went out and helped the bus route yesterday for just a little while. And as we did that, we came, had the meeting, and we had to get our haircuts. So we wanted to look sharp for the banquet last night. We were looking like hippies. So we went and got our haircut. And when we went to get our haircut, I sat with a barber, and he began to talk. And we were just talking general talk. And he mentioned a friend of his who had died. And I said to him, I said, you know what? The Bible does say that the wicked, I said, no, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Boy, did he get quiet. And he changed that subject very quickly. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God began to work on him. And see, the wicked are like the trouble. There's no rest. But there's the erring heart. The erring heart, number one, it says this. It says, the erring heart, they just simply do not know. They have not known my ways, my paths. That's the wicked, like the trouble. See, they don't want the path of God. The right belief, the temperature of a society is based upon what they believe or do not believe about God. You look at the beginning of our society. You look at the United States of America as an example. We had we had a right, we may not have been perfect back in those days, but we had a righteous understanding of an almighty God. Else we wouldn't have the Bible scriptures all over Washington, D.C. I've been there. I grew up 13 miles from there in Maryland, in southern Maryland, and I went to D.C. and worked downtown, and I'd see across those buildings scripture verses that our forefathers set there. Why? Because they had some type of a temperature that they understood there was a holy God. We took it out of schools. We took prayer out of schools. We took the Bible out of schools. We can't even call it a Christmas tree anymore. We got some mayor somewhere in the Northeast that don't even call it a Christmas tree anymore. He wants to call it a holiday tree. Why is that? Because they always do err in their hearts. It's an erring heart. But then let's continue reading on from the errant heart. When your fathers, verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in my rest. The lost man who doesn't understand what it is to enter into the rest of God, it's because it's an errant heart. He doesn't know the ways of God. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. No, we have an evil heart. Errant heart, an evil heart. What is an evil heart? Of what, class? Of unbelief. In departing from the living God. Now, I don't have time this morning because of the time constraints of our Sunday school class, but if we were to go back to Romans chapter 1, and you're looking and study Romans chapter 1 sometime, you're going to see that men do some things with the truth. One of the things that's mentioned in that Romans chapter 1 passage is they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They're holding, they're suppressing what God has already revealed about himself. God's already showed to man what the truth about himself is. God has placed in man a conscience that he can know what the truth of himself is. But they suppress it. They hold it back. Say, I don't want to have anything to do with God. I mean, have lost friends like that. Leave me alone, you Bible thumper. Don't talk to me about that. You know, I'm the least popular person in my workplace. Why? Because if I get a chance, I'll mention the Lord. And most of the time they just stick me in the truck and say, hey, head off to Kentucky. Fine. I don't want to be around anyway. I honestly do. I know that they need the Lord. I understand that. But you don't want to be around that all day long. You know, this old world is going to pass. And these wicked men are at unrest because of unbelieving hearts. But now, not only have the erring heart, there's a chance for the erring heart to say, what is the truth? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And they have a chance to say, okay, either I'm going to believe what I've heard by faith or I'm not. But now the Bible also stands out that we have an evil heart. It's an evil heart of unbelief. They've already heard the truth. They understand the truth. The Bible says that man's held without excuse because of God's just working in their conscience. They're held without excuse. How can we go to the mission field or there not be someone in the mission field who's never heard the truth of the gospel and still be held accountable? Because God has placed in those men and those women all across this world everything they need to know about God, even his eternal power of Godhead, so that, Romans chapter 1 tells us, they are without excuse. What a serious thing. What about Americans? We've heard the truth over and over and over and over again. It just becomes dull to us. Holding the truth. There's the second heart. You can't enter into rest because of an errant heart. You can't enter into the rest and peace of God because of an errant heart. You cannot enter into the rest of God because of an evil heart of unbelief. Then, number three, we cannot enter into rest also not only the evil heart of unbelief, but also there's a hardened heart. I missed one in the middle. It talks about here in the scriptures, says, harden not your hearts in the day of provocation. What's he saying there to us? He's saying, first there's an errant heart. The errant heart begins to believe the things that it begins to feed upon. As a man thinketh in his heart, what, class? So is he. Well, there's not really. God's loving. He is. So much so that he sent his only begotten Son to become sin for us. Amen? But he's not going to require me to stand before him. He's so loving, everybody's saved. Everybody's going a different path to the same direction. No. You have an evil heart of belief. And because of the evil heart, how did it happen? Because it's a man thinking. soul and spirit, our souls, our mind, emotion, our will. We don't have to teach that lesson again. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we see those three heart conditions. And none of those heart conditions, unbelieving heart, an errant heart, or a hardened heart, are going to lead us into rest. And Paul the Apostle is saying that you have every opportunity to enter into rest. You have for 40 years seen the goodness of God. This can also apply to the Christian, can it? How, you know what? With what we have been given, I've heard this stated by other men who have had blessed works, this, like this church is a blessed church. With what we have been given, we have greater responsibility than less responsibility. What are we going to do with it? We can enter into rest. Now here's what I want to help you. Let's go into chapter 4. And there's three things in chapter 4. This, let us therefore fear. The Bible says. Remember, originally, this was a new paragraph. It wasn't necessarily a chapter and verse division into it. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being, what's the next three words, class? Mixed with faith. Mixed with faith. Here's where the people from the Church of Christ and Church of God and some of our Pentecostal brethren don't believe that Christ gives unto us eternal life and we'll never perish. They err thinking, well, this verse here and this passage of Scripture tell me I've got to hold on to the very end. My friend Tom that I was telling you about earlier, he believes every time he's done something wrong, he can lose his sight. He told me last Christmas I was over in Cincinnati working. He said, I had dinner with him one night, him and his wife, Jeannie. He said, I just don't believe that I have eternal life all the time. I have to come back, keep coming back to the Lord. I took him the passage of Scripture over here. I said, no, Tom, let me show you something. Explain these Scriptures to me. If you can, where God in chapter 3 is talking about us entering into rest. The children of Israel didn't enter rest because of unbelief. I said, now we're here in chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us enter into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. Verse 3. Read it again. For we which have what, class? Believe, might enter into rest. True or false? Do enter into rest. Emphatic statement. If we just believe. It's not our work. It's the work of Christ. He's already sat down, right? At the right hand of the throne of God. And then I want to notice three things about this passage. Time's not going to allow me to go completely into it. So you, this is your challenge, class. You get into the Scripture. You search the Scripture. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth about these Scriptures. And you'll see that we have every right as those who have believed to enter into rest. There's no reason to be all worked up about whether I'm saved or where I'm not saved. And the same thing holds true for us as Christians in our daily walk. We can enter into the blessings of God upon our life if we'll just believe God for some things. What things? The things He leaves for us. Let's notice three things about this and then we'll be done this morning about this particular passage of Scripture. Number one, the apprehension about rest. Look here in verse 1, it says fear. What kind of fear is he speaking about here, class? He's speaking not necessarily. There's two types of fear mentioned in the Bible. Christ says sometimes, fear not. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He told that to his disciples, didn't he? I go to prepare a place for you. But what's he saying to you? You have to believe. Believe. He asked Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He says, Martha, believest thou this? Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe. He's bringing her to a reassurance in the fact that my work is a complete work. What I've done, I've promised you. And there's an apprehension here. He said there's the fear where Christ says to fear not. Then he says fear. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, which is it? Which fear are we speaking about here? He's saying this in verse 1 of chapter 4 concerning this matter of entering into rest. He's talking about a great caution. You make sure that you are cautious enough to make sure that you have entered into the rest for good. That's what he's saying. Did I just confuse you? Because I'm more confused now. I'm kidding, of course. What's he saying? Be cautious to know that you have believed. Because the ones who have believed are the ones who entered the rest. We just saw that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, right? They who do believe enter into rest. So he's saying here, we must be apprehensive. We must be very sure. Let us labor, therefore. That's what a lot of people believe, and they keep laboring, don't they? He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest. You know, what if I were to take to you, and I were to say to you, call one of you on the phone, and I say, I have a gift for you. This is what he's telling the children of Israel. He says, all those sacrifices, everything that you're doing, it's silly. We're going to look at that further in the future in Hebrews further down. But I will say to you, and I'll be done after this illustration, I have a gift for you that I'm going to leave on your doorstep for Christmas. And I just want you to know about it. Card from the words to you. I get home, and some people do this, and in that, I have maybe a ticket to a place on the ocean front where it's warm in the wintertime, you know? And you just go, and you go to a hotel room, and you sit back and kick your feet up, enjoy the ocean breeze, and just rest. And it's in that box. And people say, well, I've got a word, I don't want to know about him. There's that package sitting on your doorstep, and it's right there. You know, but Brother Ward, why is he possibly, you know, another fruitcake? You know how it is. So you look at that package and you say, well, it's probably just another fruitcake. And you begin to not have any kind of belief system at all. How many people have you heard say, I'm not good enough to go to heaven? I've done so much wrong. I failed people, and my life is such a mess, there's no hope for me. How many people do that? Other people look at it and say, well, man, that's a pretty package. That's really nice. I know Brother Ward didn't wrap it. It had to be Miss Lisa. She's probably only wrapped it some more. Because I know he wouldn't do as nice a job as that. That's what people are really saying. Well, I really like the package. They made me pick up the package and look at the package. Wow, isn't that nice? A lot of people do that. All across our nation today, there are people who go and they'll say catechism, and they like the fact that Jesus is there, and they like the package that Jesus may or may not come in, they think. And they look at that package, oh, isn't that beautiful? Christ is beautiful. But they never take personally and open the package and find the rest that's available to them. Because they've embraced the fact that there's something that they don't have to work for. They don't have to labor for. They don't have to do anything but just open it. And have a hard belief that, well, you know what? Brother Ward's, no, he didn't print this out. It's not a fake ticket. And Christ, listen to me, please, carefully. If you may be here this morning and you have heard about Christ and you like the fact of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you like the people because we do love people here, and you may have been here for years, and you love the Lord, and you love the people that come to God, but you have never for yourself trusted Jesus Christ for what He's done for you on the cross. He has already done the work. He has already completed everything that needs to be completed. The Bible tells us, we've already looked in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, He's tasted death for every man, every boy, every girl, every woman, so you can enter into rest. But there's something that you must do with it. You must embrace it by faith. And if we have people who don't know whether they're saved or not, they never entered the rest of God or not, more than likely they don't understand that they just must rest by faith in what Christ has already done. How do we help them? Listen to me carefully when we done. How do we help them? People look at our lives, right? How many of you work? You work with lost people. That should be everybody. Everybody, unless you don't work at home, unless you're only at home all the time. We work. They watch us. We may give them the gospel. They watch us. Is he entered into rest? In the hard times that he's going through, is he entered into something? Is he a peaceful person? To begin to search our lives and look at us. Say, that person was different. What's different? We've entered into the rest of God because we believe in God. And as Christians, God has left us his promises so we can enter into the blessings in this life he has for us. There's been times in my life, I'm ashamed to say, I have not entered into that rest because of hard unbelief. May the Lord help us. Amen? As Christians, to trust him for his promises. You see, the giving of God's promises are just as good as us seeing fulfillment of them. You catch that? God's word is more sure than our seeing the fulfillment of his promise. It really is. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest. I don't have time for the other points. I might take them and put them on an outline that you can read. You won't be able to read my notes this morning or handwriting. So I might be able to do that. Take an outline and give it to you for the rest of this. We'll go to chapter 5 next week. Going pretty quick. And continue on. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your dear Son who came upon this earth and he died upon the cross and he rose again from the dead. He tasted death for all of us, your creation. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray this morning there are going to be people that come in. There may be people here already this morning who have not known what it is to embrace by faith the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We pray that they would just know what it is just to simply rest in that finished work. We thank you this morning for your goodness to us. You allow us to get up this morning and get dressed and get into a vehicle or get here by some means of transportation. Help us not to take it lightly. Help us to be ready to listen to me this morning. And help us to be with Pastor, fill him with thy Holy Spirit's power and bless him, we pray. Help us to hear the word of God, not to just go through emotions. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God as he begins to speak to us. And as he speaks through the pastor's mouthpiece and the word of God, help us be sensitive. Listen, if there's some that are lost here this morning, Lord, please, we ask you to help them enter into the rest of salvation through belief in thy finished work. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you for all that you